Third hour here, third and final hour here, Robbie and Rex Road. Wednesday edition, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Joe Rexford here with Junie Riddle in for Robbie, Michelle Knezovic. And we have been efforting Paul Kaharski, who probably has, I think he does have a Nextel flip phone. So, you know, it's a toughie with PK and technology sometimes. So hopefully we'll get PK on here to talk a little Titans. In the meantime, Junie, a lot of reaction. Well, we'll get PK in on this discussion. Paul Kaharski, paulkaharski.com. How you doing, man? Your phone okay? Everything good?
Yeah, I don't know what's going on there. I'm calling you from a landline that's never used in my house.
You sound like Kermit the Frog.
It would cost me money, I think, to take it away from my Comcast package.
God, I'm actually kind of jealous. We haven't had a landline in a long time, but I kind of miss, you know. Like, remember, like, when cordless phones were new? It was so cool. Like, holy cow, a cordless phone. You know what I'm talking about, PK.
Yeah. Big trip down memory lane.
Yes, thank you. All right, so let's talk Titans this week. Your read, PK, on, first of all, just the floating out there by Daniel Jeremiah of the whole Titans, you know, number three pick thing. And also, let's just hypothetically say that is real, and that there is really a strong consideration. What would you think about that?
Well, I just think we consistently, fan base and probably talk radio, though I'm not listening to a lot, it gives so much wind to one mention. I mean, I don't know if you guys are saying it. It would make a lot of sense for Mondi Ossenfort to put out that the Titans want to come up to three. But it's one guy saying it. Look, I just posted Mike Herndon's piece on this and what it would cost the Titans to get up to three. They've looked at all the quarterbacks clearly, closely, which is disheartening to me. But I'm hoping it's an elimination thing because I think Stroud and Young will be gone, and I don't think Levis or Richardson is worth it. I don't think they're good. I think they're massive projects. If you're going up to three to get somebody who's, you know, a Trevor Lawrence or a Joe Burrow, if this draft was that deep or you had somebody that had those qualities, I'm all for it. But I just, you know, as I was editing this piece and getting ready to put it up, I'm thinking if they trade what it would cost to get up to three, to get a guy who's a massive project, you know, look, I'm getting ahead of myself as this conversation does, and my desire is to tamp it down, but I think it would be a somewhat of an ego thing with a new GM and a coach with new offensive people thinking they can turn somebody into something that they can't. Bill Barcells had a 7-point plan, you know, for what I need for a quarterback coming out. Needs to have won 23 games, needs to have started, 30, needs to be a senior, needs to have graduated. Anthony Richardson doesn't get a check mark in any of the boxes, none. Now, I understand that that's evolved over time, but there's something to be said for having some experience and accuracy.
All right, okay. All right, a couple things here. First of all, so you don't like this conversation, but you have a piece about this going up on your site? I just want to make sure I have that right. You're trying to tamp it down, but you got a piece going up?
No, Herndon has a piece about what it would cost to going to three. I wrote a piece about why these quarterbacks aren't worth it. But I just don't understand when Daniel Jeremiah has a piece that says somebody said the Titans are looking into going into three, it becomes written in stone that the Titans are trading to three. Or when somebody says that the Titans put their toe in the water about Derrick Henry being traded, about Derrick Henry being shopped, it becomes a fact that Derrick Henry's being traded. We have no ability to remain nuanced through the conversation. A suggestion that something could happen becomes that it is happening.
Yeah, well, with some people. But and then you also said you're dismayed that they're doing their homework on the quarterbacks, or did I hear that wrong?
No, I'm not dismayed that they're doing their homework on the quarterbacks. I'm dismayed if their homework in the quarterbacks turns into them drafting one of these two quarterbacks. I don't think Levis or Richardson is going to be a good NFL quarterback. I don't understand drafting with the needs that they have a project and giving up the draft capital it's going to take to draft the project.
Gotcha.
We're talking to Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com. Paul, you talked about other needs on this roster, wide receiver being one of them. Right now, currently, where do the Titans sit on Treylon Burks and where his development is? And if it's not to their standard, what other options do you think that they would go to kind of fill out that position?
Well, they don't have any other options. I mean, they clearly, if there's somebody that they like in free agency, which it's hard to imagine, it's a very thin list. This is the reason you don't trade A.J. Brown, because good receivers don't get to free agency. They need to draft two. Maybe somebody gets cut later based on salary cap purposes, or because somebody drafts somebody that they like that makes somebody expendable, but you can't count on stuff like that. The big season for a big free agent acquisition is over. So this team's counting on Treylon Burks to be number one or co-number one. They don't really like to declare things. But I saw, you know, one report that is saying, you know, if they draft so-and-so, it'll allow them to play Burks in the slot. Well, yeah, then who's the other outside receiver? I mean, their second-best receiver on the roster right now, with apologies to Joe and his affection for NWI, it could be Kyle Phillips, who we know is playing in the slot. So Treylon Burks needs to be a big-time outside receiver for them. They need to draft a guy who's going to be the same on the other side. Hope that Kyle Phillips is a good inside guy. Draft another guy who could be their fourth and play probably more too tight than they have in the past. And then hope all those guys stay healthy.
Okay, so let's take all those. And I agree with all that. They need a lot of things like that to work out in their favor. They need to have, you know, a payback year on the injury front for the last 2 years. A lot of things. So let's say basically best case scenario. You know, they have a really good draft. Some of these guys are counting on do come through. Is this I think we'd probably agree that it's certainly a team that could win the AFC South. But like, what's the ceiling for that best case scenario team?
Well, you know, I have trouble, you know, we're being hypothetical. You would need the Jags not to go crazy. You know, I think it could be a wild card team if things really go right, if the offense adapts, if Henry doesn't slow down a ton. If Tannehill's the guy and gets back to, you know, not the best Tannehill we've seen, but not the worst Tannehill we've seen. I think, by the way, Tannehill's taking unfair beating. I mean, five of the seven losses in the streak were without him. You know, I understand the schedule took a turn for the worst, but he wasn't awful this year, considering what was around him, and so much of the fan base seems to think that he was the root cause of the problems. I tend to disagree with that. So he didn't get a chance to get in the playoffs and fail, which is where the issue with Ryan Tannehill has been. So, I mean, I have a lot of faith in Mike Vrabel. You know, and piecing things together, they need to not be getting people off the scrap heap from practice squads at the end of camp and during the season. If they're doing that again, I think, you know, we've seen that run its course. But if they have a healthy team of guys that they want, you know, I think the bottom of the playoff pool, they could be in it. Now, they're not going to go on a run in the playoffs based on who they'd have to beat.
Now, Paul, I have a question about Jeffrey Simmons. You know, him and his agent kind of released a video last week, and you could kind of take it one way or another, as in, you know, he's on his way to getting paid here soon, or, you know, maybe there might be other options out there. You know, it just all depends on how you see it. What have you heard from the Tennessee Titans about Jeffrey Simmons, and do you see a contract extension as a high priority for the team this offseason?
I've heard nothing about Jeffrey Simmons, and nobody's heard anything about Jeffrey Simmons. And I don't read that video as they're on the verge of something. This is an immature, inexperienced agent who's playing this thing wrong. These contracts happen in July and August. Go look at anybody that they've extended in a time frame like Jeffrey Simmons is in. Like, I don't understand why they insist there's a ticking clock right now. There's not. They have to draft in 3 weeks. Jeffrey Simmons isn't a priority right now. They have 2 years of control on Jeffrey Simmons. He's under contract this year, and they could tag him next year. So clearly he's a concern, but he's not a ticking clock right now. Now, in July and August, when they've got nothing going on, that's when you sit down and you roll up your sleeves and you get a deal done. Why that has to change for Jeffrey Simmons and this guy feels like he's got to get the fan base in a panic and everything, I don't know. But Jeffrey Simmons is a step short of Lamar Jackson in terms of the agent front, I think. This guy, to me, is, look, he got to Nissan Stadium finally this year, and he tweeted out pictures of him with Amy Adams Strunk. If I'm a player, I want an agent who, you know, pretty confidently can meet an owner and stand on even ground instead of sending out fanish pictures of finally meeting the person he's going to be negotiating with on my behalf.
Paul Kaharsky, bringing it on the landline. Thank you, Paul. Great talking to you as always. We'll talk to you next week.
Good talking to you, Joseph. And Junie, it's nice to meet you.
Absolutely, Paul. Even though I was your intern a while ago,
a joke, right? That was a joke, Paul. Please tell me you're not that oblivious. You're not Mr. Magoo yet.
I'm just reading the screen and playing along with whatever's going on.
All right, Paul Kaharsky, paulkaharsky.com, and when we come back, we'll react to PK a little bit here on Robbie and Rex Show. 102.5, 106.3, The Game. So I just want to let the Rick roll. Just let the Rick roll. Keep rolling a little bit. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. My goodness, Paul Kaharsky. Paul Kaharsky is Mr. Magoo. Dude, Paul Kaharsky doesn't remember you. Tell me how long that you were Paul Kaharsky's intern.
I would say it's kind of hard because it kind of got cut off a bit during COVID. But I was primarily with him, I would say, the 2020 football season. Like every Friday I'd be at the Titans Pro Shop with them. Oh, another one, a good one that we did together was the Blackbird Studios, where they did a show there with Martina McBride. That was another big one that I was over there with. I know
so Paul's, you interacted with him on a regular basis, talked to him.
He knew me. I mean, he called me out by name numerous times if I did something wrong. So
he did know that your name was Junie.
Yeah.
Because he texted me and didn't even like asked if you changed your name.
No.
Holy crap.
No, I didn't.
This is kind of scary. I think we may be stumbling upon Kaharsky. Listen, losing his mind.
If Paul's listening right now, like, I used to get you Arnold Palmers all
hey,
the time.
Hey, intern, get me an Arnold Palmer, right? Come on. The Lipton. The Lipton.
Good Lord, Kaharsky.
Just but, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I get it. He's doing
it. It is what it is.
Doing a radio show.
Yeah, we will continue to rip Kaharsky. Real quick, let me let Preds fans know. You can head out tomorrow night for the Preds game at Superbook Lounge in Landshark Bar and Grill in Margaritaville on Broadway with 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Place your bets at Superbook. Enjoy great food and drink specials. Plus, enter for a chance to win a pair of tickets to a upcoming Preds home game. Also tomorrow, your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty and Superbook Sports. If you correctly guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game tomorrow night, like Michelle Knezevic just did yesterday for the first time in several months, you win a pair of tickets to an upcoming Preds home game. Participate tomorrow morning at 8:45. Congratulations, Michelle. Very proud of you.
Thank you. I hadn't got one right in a while.
I got another Preds. I'm on a Preds roll. Preds fans, don't miss tonight. Smashville Live, Brewhouse South in Cool Springs starting at 6. See your Predators star players up close and personal. You can get autographs and pictures. Tonight, you got Mark Jankowski and Philip Tomasino. Tomasino involved in the huge overtime winning goal last night. Cody Glass. Smashville Live brought to you by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Little Harpeth Beer, Superbook Sports, and Dulce Vita, tequila pure and simple. All right, so other than Kaharski just having no clue who you are and losing his faculties and having to talk on landlines now when he does radio interviews, anything that you take issue with or especially agree with on his Titans takes there? He's down on Jeffrey Simmons' agent. He's down on the fanish picture-taking agent of Jeffrey Simmons. But I agree with him on the timing of the contract for sure.
Oh, I'm totally on board with the timing of the contract. I mean, I remember, you know, you've made light of it, you know, watching the Steelers all this time, that TJ Watt didn't get his contract where he was the highest paid defensive player in the league at the time until days before the kickoff of the season. You know what I mean? It's just like this is one of those times where, you know, fans are really antsy for it, but he's right. Like, the Titans have control over Jeffrey Simmons for the next, you know, 2 years. Without a doubt, he is under contract. And I just think it's going to get done. I think that they value him high enough. Like, you just don't find defensive tackles like that every single day. And when you land one, you need to keep it. Because as of right now, I mean, if your trenches are beefed up in this league, you're going to be a winner. And when you look at the Titans and how, you know, pitiful their offensive line was last year, and the guys that they got this year aren't, you know, proven commodities, you want to keep your defensive line as a strength of your team at bare minimum. I feel like unless you're going into an absolute full rebuild, going to tank this year, genuinely trying to trade Henry, cut Byard, all those narratives that have come out, then that's the – and you're trying to tank for next year – that's the only reason I would see that they don't get this done.
But even if that's the case, now again, I am the person who promoted, supported the idea of, hey, if you can get Bryce Young, send him. Send Jeffrey Simmons. But even if you're tanking, he's young enough that he'll be there when you come out the other side if you do it well. I mean, in this league, there's no long rebuilds in the NFL.
No.
You know, so I mean, you may have to have a year or two, but if you do it right and you make good choices in the midst of the rebuild, you'll come out of it and be a playoff contender quickly. So Jeff Simmons, even if that's the – and again, I don't think that they're fanking in any way next year. But if they were to give up draft capital to get a quarterback, you have no choice. You're not going to be good.
Yeah.
Either way, I'm still signing him because I'm with you. You got to be dominant up front, man. It's still the name of the game of football.
I just think when you look at where the Titans are right now, you know, this defense is kind of set in stone to where you can rely on it. And as of right now, running the ball and defense is the identity of this Titans team. So with that being said, you know, it's best for them to be competitive, you know, sooner rather than later by keeping this defense intact and going young and having all these talented players on rookie contracts on offense. So that way all your money's going towards defense, but all your young and up-and-coming talent you're not paying a lot of money to. And that's the way that they're going to turn this around. Jeffrey Simmons, I believe, will get re-signed, whether it's, you know, the beginning of training camp, middle of preseason, right before the season. It doesn't matter. I think as long as this team isn't going to go, you know, selling off all of its main components and pillars, that he is going to be a priority and that he will get re-signed. It's just not going to be right now.
What if Jalen Carter drops to number 11? You want to be dominant up front? How about being doubly dominant up front?
I would draft him in a heartbeat. If you have Jalen Carter and Jeffrey Simmons on the interior of your line, I mean, think about what that does for the secondary, the linebackers, the cleanup crew. I mean, that just completely takes a strength of your defense and just puts it over the top. You can't even put into words about how much that would mean to this Titans defense if you get a guy. I mean, they definitely wouldn't be last in pass defense, that's for sure, because quarterbacks would be under rest all game long. So even though, yeah, you probably want to go offense with your first pick, if you get a guy like that just to solidify and take your defense just to the next level, I mean, you're talking about like a Philadelphia-esque defensive front with what they did last year. They went out and got Jordan Davis to add to a strength of theirs, which was their D-line. So it wouldn't be out of the question for sure. But, of course, according to Jalen Carter, he ain't going to make it to 11.
Well, and that's the thing. And, you know, I just – that's great to have that confidence, but I don't like the idea of, no, I'm not going to do visits with teams. You know, I just think that's a bad move on his part. I agree. I don't think he'll be there either, but I'm with you. If he was to be there, you'd have to really think about that because you can't be too dominant in either trenches. Don't miss Nashville's best NFL draft coverage, by the way, on 102.5, 106 through the game, presented by Parman Energy and Parman Tractor Equipment. Join us on location as we broadcast live from Wingstop, where flavor gets its wings, located at 3300 Gallatin Pike in Nashville on Friday, April 28th. And I'm sure Jared Stillman will be losing his mind often on that night. When we come back, it's time for The Choice is Yours, Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106 through the game.
We all have choices to make. This. Like right now.
Come on.
It's The Choice is Yours, built by Jared Companies. You have a choice, so when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com.
Come on.
The Choice is Yours, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
And here we are. The choice is yours, and I'm in the question chair today, folks. So, sports or non-sports?
You choose, Junie. You're the guest.
I want to go non-sports first.
Non-sports. Okay. You must go without one of these condiments for the rest of your life.
Ooh.
You can never have this again. And I took out mustard and mayonnaise, because those are polarizing condiments. I would hate to give up either one, but some people don't like them. I think these three condiments are, I think, universally liked. Ketchup, ranch, or hot sauce. You have to give up one of these three things for the rest of your life.
I will go first because this is the easiest answer of all time.
Oh, I know what you're going to say, and it is awful, Junie.
Ketchup. I hate it.
Really?
I can't stand it. Anything vinegar-based for me is a no-go. I think ketchup is awful, and maybe it was
freaking Steelers fan, Heinz. Get out of here.
I know. I don't like mustard either. I don't like mustard or ketchup. I'm not a fan. And I will tell you this. My famous concoction is mixing ranch and hot sauce. I have been doing it since middle school. I have put all my friends on, and I've changed people's life with this.
Ranch and hot sauce.
Mix it together.
Wow.
On anything. Fries.
This question's for you.
Pizza.
Then.
All of it.
I can see that. I can see that being good.
It's great.
You know, real quick, in college, I don't know why I thought of this, but we used to you get these little milk glasses in the cafeteria, and then if you eat a bunch of jalapenos and slam the milk, you get a heck of a buzz. Michelle.
Well, I can't say I did that in college. So this one, first off, never getting rid of ketchup. I'm obsessed with it. I have it on my eggs. I have it on mac and cheese. And nobody come for me because it tastes good. Don't knock it until you try it. Unless you don't like ketchup like Junie. Ranch.
You guys are both a little extreme on the ketchup.
Ranch. Just love it. I mean, ranch is just amazing. Hot sauce, though. I mean, that's hard because you think of like wings and all of that, you know, wings. But I think I would have to get rid of it. It's the one that I could go without. I mean, I swear, I have ketchup probably in at least one meal a day. I think that would be fair. Ranch, I mean, it's elite. Ranch is elite. Ranch on your pizza. So I'm going to get rid of hot sauce.
Well, we all have different answers. I mean, I could never do without ketchup or hot sauce. Ranch is highly overrated.
Oh,
highly,
my God.
Highly overrated.
Rex.
That's the worst take you've had all day, Rex.
Get the ranch out of here. Get the ranch out of here. So there you go. That's
a
good
Midwestern Northern take right here. I mean, that's some baloney, man.
You know, I'm so old that I remember like when ranch became a thing. Like anybody like Gen X. Like when we were kids, like no one ate, like you did anything with ranch, you know? It was like a thing like in high school. They're like, what? People, what is this? They're putting this salad dressing on stuff? That's how old I am. So maybe that's part of it. It's just not like in my bloodstream from like birth, like some people. All right, sports, you're Ran Carthon, and you have this choice. Anthony Richardson is your QB of the future this year, and you are trading up with whatever it takes to get the number three pick, and you're taking him. And this is for Ran Carthon, your long-term job as a GM of the Tennessee Titans. Or, for the next 5 years, you will not pick higher than 20 in the draft, and you must figure out your next quarterback with that as a constraint. Which way are you going?
Junie, you go first. I need a minute.
I am going with not picking 20 because I think Anthony Richardson is going to be a bust. And if you trade up and give up future assets for him to go up to number 3, you're not going to have to be worrying about your future. You're going to be packing up your bags because you're going to be fired within the next 3 to 4 years. You won't even see the stadium. So if it's me, I'm working around because a lot of times the top QBs that you pick high in the top 10, a lot of them don't end up panning out, and it's oftentimes the guys that slip end up being the better quarterback prospects, and oftentimes because they fall to better teams. So if I'm in that situation, I would take my luck towards the tail end of the first round rather than taking a guy that I just flat out don't believe in Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page as Junie there. You know, when you look at if you are spending so much to trade up to the 3rd overall pick, you got to be so incredibly sure. And I think between him and Will Levis, they are so incredibly polarizing, and you're gambling on if he will be a good player in this draft. And I think to give up so much on a question mark, it's too risky. And the quarterback position being so important, I think that if you are, 20th in the next 5 years, there's other things you can do, trades, and you can make it work. But I just think that, I think what Junie said is if you do all that, you trade up for him and he is not your starter in 2.5, 3 years, it's very, very disappointing and could be his job.
Ultimately, although I think Junie's QB takes today have been borderline scandalous, I actually agree with both of you. Ultimately, I don't want to be in that quarterback purgatory. I don't want to be wandering the desert looking for someone, but I'm not giving away that much. I'm fascinated to see what happens with Anthony Richardson, but I'm not tying my entire future to him. All right, non-sports. The Nike movie is out tonight. What's that called again?
Air?
Air. It's called Air, right? Yeah. Exciting. Michelle's going to see it. Now that you mentioned, we've got to get out to the theater too to see it soon. So give me a sports moment. Now, we know there are, because this is about a moment, right? This was about basically, sports changed a ton. Yes, it's about Michael Jordan, but this is not a biopic. Give me a sports moment that you would love to see turned into a movie, a moment in time. And it could be, it could be a controversy. It could be like a series or whatever.
You go first on this one.
So for me, mine is Deflategate. I want the movie on Deflategate. We got all these, Brady, love the 80s, love Brady, and all this crap. You know what? Give me the movie about how Tom Brady cheated, and because the NFL is so incompetent and everybody just wants to blame Roger Goodell for everything, and he usually deserves it, we just gloss over the fact that Brady obviously cheated and got rid of the evidence. I want the full movie on Deflategate, the real truth.
How about this one? The Rise and Fall of Rick Pitino. Louisville basketball these last couple of years.
Gosh.
No, but June, I think it's no.
Rick Pitino movie. Well, first of all, NC-17 with some of this stuff.
But no, I
pool table scene.
I genuinely think that is a moment in sports history that people think they know a lot of what happened and assume and just read headlines and stuff. But I actually think it could be something.
I'd go see it.
That is really interesting. You get his perspective from it. Talk to former players. Right, because I'm on the same boat. I don't think that you can ever really take back a national championship or a Heisman or whatever. But I actually do think like in what it did to Louisville's basketball program. I also think I'm going to do 2 for this one. Kentucky's 38-0 team.
I think a 30 for 30 would be perfect on the Louisville scandal that went on. A lot to that. Tom Jurich getting fired, one of the best athletic directors in the entire country, thought he was scapegoated as well. I am on team Rick didn't know. I know it's his responsibility, but regardless.
Probably not.
But if I were to choose a movie, just to answer the question to get back on topic here, I'm going to go a little bit outside, but I'm going to go and do the LeBron James decision to go to the Miami Heat and how that changed the movement in the NBA forever. And honestly, it might have changed the movement of players in different sports leagues in America in general. Like, I feel like that decision, I personally didn't like it. I'm not a big LeBron guy, but that moment in time right there gave power to the players in a lot of different sports that they did not have before that. it kind of goes to show you how star players have taken the reins. And I think that that moment in time really changed history of professional sports in this country.
I like it. I'm watching all these movies. Now, speaking of watching something, final question here in sports. You must sit through one of these, and we'll say that each of these like involve like your respective, you know, favorite teams. But you must sit through one of these things. Which one are you choosing? A spring college football game, an NFL exhibition game, or an NHL exhibition game?
Whew.
You got to be all in. You're in the stands and you are locked in.
I'm surprised you didn't put the Pro Bowl in there.
I can't. That doesn't even, like, I can't even, yeah, that doesn't, it doesn't exist in my mind.
I think I'm going to go NHL because, first off, spring football, for me, not it. I need football, fall weather, like football mode, NFL, eh. I'm going to go hockey because I think, honestly, I enjoy watching any level of hockey. I think it's one of those sports that if you don't care about sports, if you don't know anything about sports, it's so fascinating and so fast to watch, and it can really keep you entertained at any level. So I'm going to go hockey.
I think hockey's an interesting one. Spring football for me is dead last. Just could not sit through that. I mean, I go to preseason games every single year. I love going to the preseason. I love being able to look at some of the guys that are trying to fight to make the team. I think that's really interesting narratives. And if you're a big fan of a football team and how, especially this upcoming season, when they're going to make all the cuts in one day, it's not going to be a periodic thing. I think it's going to be really interesting to see some of the guys that like break out in the preseason, an unknown name that just, you know, takes it by storm and then ends up becoming a part of the 53-man roster. And then you're like, oh, I watched that guy in preseason. He balled out, and now he's, you know, playing in the regular season. He's actually a contributor. You get stories like that every single year on almost every single team. And for me, that's very fascinating to watch and watch that progress.
Yeah, see, I did not expect this to be a platform for you to get excited about NFL freaking exhibition games, but here we are. And also, it's also depressing that I agree with you, but I do. I hate all of them. I want to go to none of them. But yeah, I mean, I think you can still find some things in an NFL preseason game that can be interesting, that can spin for.
Hey, you put a college basketball practice in there, I'm all in.
There we go.
That's my number one.
And I think for hockey, for example, you know, like Robbie goes to a lot of those for the Preds, and he's been high on Luke Evangelista, and we see what he's doing now.
Afanasyev, I mean, yeah, certainly you can pick out guys in those too.
And so it's good to see those guys get the opportunity to kind of come in and show what they got. And, you know, I don't know how many Predators fans are actually watching Milwaukee Admirals hockey. So being able to see those guys too, I just think the whole entirety of watching guys develop, and I mean, I guess you could say it for spring football, but you know, those rosters are so massive in the spring, it's really hard to like pin down one or two guys that really stand out. But for professional, for hockey and for football, seeing those guys that you normally wouldn't see develop and grow, I think is a really good part of those games.
All right, when we come back, we'll wrap up the show. Not sure what we'll talk about. Maybe we'll call Kaharski on his landline and see if he star 69s us back for anybody who gets that reference. Coming up next, Robbie and Rexo, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. You can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. Video streaming brought to you by Superbook. Also, Preds fans, would you like to win tickets in our Lower Bowl Section 102? Just text the keyword Superbook, all one word, to the game text line 615-737-1025, and you will be entered to win. Win with 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and you can win with Superbook. Welcome back in Robbie and Rex Show. How about that for a pause that had no purpose at all? Junior Riddle in today for Robbie, and also tomorrow for Robbie. We've had a lot of good discussion. Hey, I'm going to leave it up to you. What would you like to talk about, Junie? You are the guest here. What would you like to talk about for our final segment?
Well, I want to get back into this quarterback conversation.
Okay.
And I think that's been kind of the big hitter on the day, because we completely disagree
on these quarterback prospects.
And I want to know what your ideal situation is. You know, I think we both agree that they're not going to trade up to 3. I think that's kind of smoke and mirrors. But when it comes to the 11th overall pick, whether it's a position group or a specific prospect, who do you think that they should go with?
Well, if they have to pick 11, first of all, it's funny because we've ripped on Kaharski today. And I love ripping on Karski. And hopefully I'm going to make sure he can spell your name, can say knows who you are. We'll send him a picture, you know. We'll make sure he knows, you know. Hopefully he can remember something the following day. But Karski ripped me because someone told him erroneously that I said on the air that the Titans should take Hendon Hooker at number 11. And I don't think they should take Hendon Hooker at number 11. But here's the thing, like, it's the same idea of going up to 3 and mortgaging so much to get someone there. If you believe the guy's the guy, I don't give a crap that the mock drafts say he goes 35th or 40th or at the bottom of the first round. If you believe he's the guy, take him. So I think ideally from 11, someone wants to get in there and they can add a pick and move down some, and then I think it would be more palatable to do that. But if they're sticking at 11, I think you go with your board, you know. I think that you sign Andre Dillard, and he may work out at left tackle, but if you believe in Paris Johnson Jr., you know, Peter Skoronski, whoever may be there, I'm fine with that. I mean, I think you have to get a really good football player who helps you immediately at 11. And especially if you're going the route of Tannehill, Henry, as good as you can be this year, well, then get someone who helps those guys this year.
I think it would be, and again, I've been a proponent of, you know, taking Will Levis, and I think that that definitely should be in the conversation. If he's still there at 11, I have my doubts on whether or not he will be. I think it's a real toss-up. I could see him drop in. I could see him going top 3. All those things are in the question, but if you're asking me my number one, and on Michelle and I's show on Saturday, I did a prospect ranking. If Paris Johnson Jr. and Peter Skoronski, one of the two, are there, you take him. I truly, wholeheartedly believe that winning football teams come from strong trenches, and you already have a strength in your defensive line, and your offensive line might be the worst and is the biggest liability on your team. I think you do what it takes to make this roster the best it can and then wait for that right moment to get a quarterback, because I think if you were wanting to trade up, I don't think these quarterbacks are worth mortgaging your future, because it could affect their development in the future by trading up and going to get them. If one of them falls, sure, consider it. But I think the safest bet is the unsexy move and going and getting an offensive lineman that can be a foundational part, whether you move them to guard, whether they play right, whether they play left tackle, it doesn't matter. You need to get somebody on the offensive line that can really protect the quarterback. And then that way, when you do go out and get your young quarterback eventually, because Ryan Tannehill isn't going to be here, you know, 1 or 2 years from now, that they have, you know, their lines suited up and ready to go so that you can get the most out of your quarterback on that rookie deal.
Yeah, philosophically, I totally agree with you. Even the crappy Lions, who you will probably pick too high this year.
I was right about them this year.
You were not. Did they make the playoffs?
That was a late season bet that we had together, and I did pay that up. But I told you that they were going to be a good team, and they were a good team.
What was their record?
They were 9-8.
Yeah, they weren't a good
just
team.
Over 500, baby.
But Joe, I get it. You can look at their encompassing record, Joe, but look at the development of that team and where they started. They were 1-7. They were dead in the water.
They were.
And they finished.
Let's say that again. They were 1-7.
They were. And again, and what did they do? They came back on the season. They found it together. They found their rhythm. And I will tell you this. I think the Lions had one of the best free agencies out of any team this year.
I'm glad that you're going to be driving the train. When they go 7-10 next year, I will absolutely bring this up over and over again. But I will say this about the Lions. An example to your point, and you've seen it with plenty of franchises over the years. They built the trenches, and they are good. They are good up front offensively. And that's like for a Jared Goff. I mean, he has become. He looks again like a good quarterback because he has a pocket to stand in, right?
Yes.
So no, I'm with you. The problem with the Titans from that perspective is just that they've been trying to do that and they've been making bad choices. So it's like, as a fan, I would understand the fatigue of really another lineman high. Like how? But I mean, look, if the past guy's going to make bad choices, the new guy's in, he can't. I mean, you just have to improve the team however you can, and they have to be better up front. I think receiver might be a bigger problem right now because they've at least done some addressing of the offensive line. We'll see how effective it is, but they've done some, right? I mean, receiver is just, I don't even know what the heck they're going to do, but I'm with you. Make yourself better in the trenches. I do think Skoronski may be more of a guard in this league than a tackle, but we'll see.
I mean, but with Skoronski specifically, no matter where you put him, he's going to be in the league for, I believe, 10-plus years. I believe he is that
good
talented.
Prospect.
I feel, and if, that's the thing is, you go 11 overall, you get a for sure guy on your offensive line that's going to solidify at least one of the positions, you go out and get that guy. And I look at a guy, you know, like Rand Carthon, coming from San Francisco, what were they known for? They were known for their offense and defensive line dominance. Again, they had a bunch of weapons there, but look at San Francisco's secondary. Not, it's not blowing you off the paper. Yeah. They dominated on defense.
Strong core, but very good skill up offensively, too.
Offensively, yeah. Yes, but that defensive line made that defense.
Yeah, no doubt.
With that being said, so I think they go trenches.
Joel said on the text line, driven by WellsConnect.com, if you need a topic to finish the show, you can get a good laugh about how Jared just went crazy about McShay's mock draft of, I guess McShay had Jackson Smith and Jigba going and said it's a mock draft. So did Jared lost his mind on a mock draft? I'm shocked.
Yes, he did. I was tuning into his show yesterday, and he said that they're going to see a different side of Jared Stillman if they actually do go Jackson Smith.
Oh, my goodness. Watch out, Titans. Oh.
Hopefully Joe will get him fired up for Jared versus Joe today.
Yeah. Hashtag 31 flavors. Yeah, let's go, Jared. Me and you, baby. And we will have that later today. Junie, thanks for coming in, and we'll see you tomorrow. I'm Robbie and Rex, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle coming up next.